for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com
or LHBCOnline.com.
There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, July the 7th, 1985. Final service of the summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Lily and Art Johnson are the speakers of the morning.
Lily is going to come at this time and minister in the glory of the Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, I like what our brother over here said. He said some things happened to him this week. He's not sure all about it, but as he goes home, the Lord's going to give him understanding and continue on. And you know, that's the wonderful thing about when you know that the Lord has done something in your life and is doing, and that you didn't just come to a series of meetings, and when the meetings are over, it's over. Because the Holy Spirit, He's the one that brought you here. He's the one, the power that was used and is being used in your life, the exceeding greatness of His power that is mightily at work within you. He continues to go with you, and He has done new levels of work in each one, and He will give you understanding. He will enlarge on it, personalize it, clarify it, and keep on working until we are what He wants us to be and what deep down we long to be ourselves, right? And I think that's exciting, so we don't have to feel sad that the meetings are over. In fact, with a new anticipation of going out and even spending that time with the Lord as He speaks to us about what He's done and some of the things maybe we didn't understand and kind of put on a shelf, as we're able to bear it, He takes it down from the shelf and shows it to us anew. Praise God. There's a section of Scripture in the end of Acts where the Apostle Paul was with a group of people. I'm not going to minister from there, but I just wanted to share this particular Scripture. He's been at the church, I believe, at Ephesus, and he said, "I've been with you in all seasons," and he's ready to leave them now. They've been sitting under his ministry for it could be a whole year if he means all seasons, meaning spring and summer and fall and winter, but it could have been through many seasons in your spiritual life as well. "I've been with you through your ups and downs and the problems that you've had, just as we have here, even though it has only been for a week." And he warns them about the enemy, and then he says to them, "But I commend you to God and the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those that are sanctified." And he left them, not feeling that they were going out alone in any manner, but he commended them to God. And do you know, I fully believe that deliverance and the word of His grace is twofold. It's the removal of the darkness, or as the song last night said, the trash. The darkness, that which is abiding in death, that which is under the curse, that which is of the world, satanic, demonic. But that which is not life, that which is not life and light and truth in Jesus Christ. It's the removal of that. And because God does not have vacuums, He does not have empty places, it's then the second part of deliverance is the filling us up with the Word of God. There must be that, because God doesn't leave empty places or empty houses. He does not want our vessel just emptied. The removal was so that He could fill us up with Himself. And so I commend you to God and the Word of His grace, which will build you up, it will strengthen you, it will fill up those areas that have now been cleansed through deliverance, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And not only that, there is a process in deliverance that I believe is very necessary, because even when the the strongholds have been removed. There are often places of habit patterns, just the old patterns and the ways we've been doing things that have been in darkness. When the power is gone, sometimes we continue the habit patterns because we don't know any other way of doing or thinking. And so it says that we're washed by the washing of the water of the Word. And this will cause us to have a renewed mind. We'll begin to think like we ought to think. And as we think like we ought to think, we'll begin to have habit patterns then in life, in the ways of God. And I think that's exciting, that this work is ever going on in each one of us. I'd like you to turn to Romans 12 for just a moment as we continue to think of going forth and in the Word of God and letting the Word of God become richer and fuller in our lives and filling us up with Himself. You know, He doesn't fill us up just with memory verses. As Glenn said, God doesn't have anything rote. He wants things from our heart. God is a spirit, and He wants us to touch our spirit to reach out to Him. As we read this word, let it be spirit, because the letter, just the letter, killeth. But the spirit giveth life to the word. So when you come to this word, come and say, Lord, I'm coming to you this morning. I'm not coming to a book, but I'm coming to the living Christ. Speak to me from your word. And that will be an exciting experience. Let me look down here. Let's look at chapter 12, verse 9 through 11. It says, let your love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. You know, every day we're presented with good and evil, are we not? Every day, sometimes just many times a day, just living in this world, we're presented with choices and says, abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. There needs to be a very definite decision to want to eschew evil, to stay away from it, because it's all around us. Let's face it, it's all around us in this world. In fact, the scripture tells us to abstain from even the appearance of evil. Don't even get around it. Don't even get around it. Then it says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. I'd like to look at that. Fervent in spirit. You know, it said of John the Baptist that he was a burning and a shining light. You know, as we go out, even when you go to your churches or your families or wherever you are, even if you have a nice Christian church, in essence, the Christian is a light in a dark world. And the Lord wants us to shine in a dark place. He wants us to shine just where we are. And that's why He has us in various places that we are. The Amplified says, be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. And I believe that as He's removed some things from our life, I believe the light is shining brighter for each one as you go out. It says, the path of the just is as a shining light, shining brighter and brighter even unto a perfect day. Brighter and brighter. You know, when Jesus spoke with the disciples on the road to Emmaus, they didn't really know who He was, but after He left, they said, did not our hearts burn within us as He talked with us and as He opened the scriptures to us? And I believe that if our hearts are burning, are fervent for Him, are really purposing that we want to be all that He wants us to be, all that we know we can be in Jesus Christ. I believe that as he talks with us, you know, He talks all the time to us. He's talking if we'll listen. And He will open this word to you. And it will not be rote. It will not be anything that's form. It will not just be even a revelation, as good as that is. But it'll be like a burning in your heart. There'll be a burning desire to continue to know Him and walk in His ways. Jeremiah said, he said, "Thy word was like a burning fire." I looked that up in my dictionary, and it says, "A consuming, intense zeal or desire for God." That's what it means to have a fervent spirit. And I believe that as Moses was presented with that burning bush when God called him, I believe God was saying to Moses, he says, as that bush is burning, but it's not consumed, but continues to glow and get brighter and brighter, he says, that's how your life is to be. And you know, it was just a common bush there in the desert, was it not? And I look at you and me and I say, well, maybe there's nothing spectacular about us. We're just any old bush. You know, he doesn't often take the ones that the world considers just, you know, the beautiful people, but he takes any old bush that he has made beautiful with his spirit. And he says, I want that. I want you to burn. You'll not be consumed, but you'll burn for me. A glowing and intense desire for him. And so I commend you today to God and to the word of his grace. And as you go out of here, and as he walks with you, as he talks to you, as you open up this scripture, I pray that it'll be like a burning fire in your heart to be fervent of spirit, serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. As Lily has commended you to follow the Lord, I'm felt led of the Lord this morning to encourage you to be led by His Spirit. And you know, we can go out of here and make several quick mistakes and all of a sudden lose a lot of what we have received. And I feel what the Lord really wants us to do is to be directed by His Spirit. Now there's a direction here that we can be reminded of. I want to read a scripture verse to you, though, out of the 8th chapter of Romans. It's very familiar, the 14th verse. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Since we have arrived here at the camp, more than once we have had people said, "I'm seeking direction. I am in a crossroads in my life. I'm in transition. I don't really know what the Lord has in store for me." And they try to get a word, perhaps, from us or from someone else here. "Thus saith the Lord, you shall do this." But I'm a very practical person, as you get to know me. And I want to tell you something. God does not put your mail in my mailbox.
Amen.
God's going to put your mail in your mailbox. But you know, He is so precious, He's going to send somebody to confirm that word so that you know that you are hearing from God. He does not want to have a select handful of people, always the ones that has the word for you. You are His children, and He wants to talk to you. I have 3 children and a grandbaby, and I like to talk to those 3 children and that grandbaby. I don't want somebody else to talk to them and say, "Your father said thus and so." I want to talk to them myself. And that grandbaby doesn't probably understand a word I say, but that's besides the point. Granddaddy's going to talk to grandbaby, you see. And God wants to talk to each and every one of us. Now, I was sharing with several people the last couple of days, and I have a dear brother here who's of German background. His name is Klaus, and he lives and works in a town or county of Brookhaven, where I spent most of my life in Long Island. And as he knows, out there in Long Island, there's much water and much boats and much sailing. And I've been going back and across these little causeways here, and wherever you look this weekend, there are power boats and sailboats out on the lake. In this area of getting direction from the Lord, particularly to these young people, I want to give you an illustration that I hope will stick with you. I love to sail. I was in the Navy, and I love to sail. I love to have a sailboat. And years ago, I lived on the waterfront out there in Brookhaven Township, It's now a retreat center. And the pleasure of my life was to come home early in the afternoon after my day's work was supposedly done, and then get in that sailboat and sail out of that bay called Conscience Bay into Long Island Sound. Oh, I love to sail. And I love to see the sail just fill with the wind of the Spirit. And that's what the Lord wants to do. He wants to fill our sails with the wind of the Spirit, and He wants to give us direction for our life. He doesn't want us to go this way and that way and blind alleys. He wants to give us direction. Do you believe that? And I think we can expect it as part of our inheritance. We can say, Lord, I want direction. Well, very simply, to get out of my harbor, I had a whale of a problem because there was a channel in some places narrower than this room. And to sail a sailboat with the tides and cross currents through that little narrow channel was very difficult, and particularly at night. Particularly when there was fog or mist on the water, because on one side was a huge cliff and the other side there was underground sand dunes and mounds and lowlands, and you'd get tied up in there and your little sailboat would be crushed by the water. If you hit the rocks or the cliff on the other side, it would also be destruction. So you have to stay in the deep flow of the current. And that's the way it is with life. You have to stay in the flow of God's current. And somebody had put buoys, little canisters, in that particular channel. So even at night, if you could see the canister floating and bobbing up, and if you could line them all up, you would be safe in the flow in the middle of that channel. Very simple. And there was four of those particular buoys or canisters floating there in the middle of that channel. And the Lord started to speak to my heart. And he said, do you know that first channel, that first buoy, that first canister is the Word of God? Everything that you want to do in life has to agree with the Word of God. There are lots of people who would like to do things that don't agree with the Word of God. Lily and I were counseling with a lady one time, or Lily was counseling with her. And she said a voice told her that when a husband went to work next Monday morning, she was going to go to the bank and draw out their life savings, pack up the children, take the family car, and drive out to Colorado and live with her father. Do you know what Lily and I said immediately? No. That's against God's word. Don't tell me about a voice telling you that. That voice certainly wasn't God, because it was in disagreement with God's word. Do you think she was happy to hear that? Oh, no. Because any time she said, God told me this, God told me that, I heard a voice, everybody was very impressed and said, oh, bless your heart, you've heard from God. She did not hear from God, because God will not contradict His Word. His Word has to be the basis of our decision making. But then He will speak to us. Hallelujah. That still, small voice within. He'll speak to you. He'll talk to you. He'll do it sometimes a little visually. I believe in dreams. I believe in visions. I don't know whether I'm a young man or an old man, because I both see visions and dream dreams, so I don't know where I am. But anyway, He will speak to you. He will speak deeply within the recesses of your heart. And if you question it, now, it's my opinion, that's just Brother Art's opinion, that the first impression you get is usually the right one. When you start to toy around with in your mind pros and cons, you start to vacillate a little bit. But that first quick insight to a situation is very often the Word of God. But you know, He doesn't even leave you hanging there. When you have heard that still small voice within your spirit, do you know what He will do? He will send a few people to you. Out of the mouth of a couple of witnesses is the thing confirmed. So you see, these canisters, these buoys, will keep you in the deep flow of His Spirit if you keep lining them up. That first thing has to be the Word of God. The second one has to be the inner speaking of the Holy Spirit, that small, still voice within you. That third buoy or canister is out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. As I said earlier, God will put your mail in your mailbox, but He will send somebody else along to confirm it. He'll say, you know, I was thinking about you. I had a feeling that you were going to go to Mexico on a missionary trip. And Lily and I would look at each other and we would nod. The Lord had told us that, but we didn't think the Lord would tell somebody in Connecticut to confirm that to us, you see. Oh, He will. He will. In fact, I had that confirmation from my mother-in-law, and that is a miracle. He can use all... See, Lily says that. He can use the most unlikely sources to confirm his word. And just because he uses them, you know it has to be God, because that woman doesn't hear from God, you see. Oh, he will, he will, he will. He will confirm that message in your heart. You believe that? And now I have to tell you about that last buoy. That is the hardest one of all. That is God's provision. Yes, it's God's timing. And that's the one that we absolutely don't wait long enough for. Young kids will say, well, I have Daniel here. He said, Daddy, I just have to have a motorcycle. I prayed about it. I prayed about it for about an hour last night. See, he prayed about it, see. But the provision has to be the next day, you see. My goodness. You know, God's provision has to be there, though. And where God provides, he's guiding. And if he's not guiding, he might not be providing. Oh, you say, Brother Art, that's hard. It is hard. Sometimes we go ahead of the Lord and we'll just spin our wheels until the Lord catches up with us, supposedly. He knows we have gone ahead of him. But it's the timing of the Lord. And when it's his timing, it's absolutely right. We found that out in witnessing to people. Sometimes we would knock on doors and visitation, and all we would ever meet was human resistance. It was not the right timing. And other times, a person would call and say, would you come and visit? We have a problem. God had come before, and the timing was right. And we had a good reception and good results. And you know, sometimes it has been like that in witnessing. I remember getting on an airplane with Lily, and because of my size and my long legs, I sit in the aisle seat so I can stretch my feet and maybe trip a stewardess down the aisle. I don't know. But anyway, I stretch out in that middle aisle, and she sits next to the window, and we have an empty seat between us. And oh boy, do we pray over that seat. We say, Lord, send us a pigeon for that seat. Lord, send us somebody that we can witness to. You think the Lord will listen to a prayer like that? And all of a sudden, I saw a man walking down the aisle with a turned collar, a Catholic priest. I said, oh, Lord, here he comes. He doesn't know what's going to happen. Sure enough, you know what seat he had been assigned? The seat between us. And he sat down, and we very quickly told him that we were husband and wife, but we sit like this. And we talked to him a little bit and told him we were ministers. And he told us, naturally, he had been in the priesthood. And he got on, Wichita. Got on Wichita, Kansas, and he got off the plane in Chicago as a born-again Christian. Hallelujah. We can do that. The proper timing. God's timing and God's provision. He will make the right time. And he thinks it was just coincidence he was on the plane. It was no coincidence. God had put the thing together. And so when you have all of those four buoys lined up, you will not hit destruction on the other side. You will not get hung up on sandbars or uncovered little islands in your life. You will stay in the deep flow of God's current. You won't go in circles and little eddy currents. You'll go right with God's wind in your sails. You'll go right down out of that channel into the greatness and the openness of God's oceans in his plenty. You know, it's only 11:20, and I have so much more I want to share about God's guidance. But let me give you two illustrations to stick with you on it. The Lord can guide people in the ministry. I think of our young brother and the best week of youth ministry I think this camp has ever had. I don't want to go to his head at all. I don't want to have him scratch his head out here somewhere, because it has to be the glory of the Lord on that type of thing. But God can guide you in your ministry. He can guide us in our ministry. He can guide Glenn and Irma in their ministry. He can guide you in your ministry. We are all ministers of the Lord. And God is always going to put a few people in your bundle, in your little particular sphere of influence, for you to be sort of an under-shepherd for them, a helper for them in their particular walk. And we have found the Lord to do this in our lives. And you know, very often as we travel in ministry, our brother was talking about dressing up today and not having jeans, because he's used to maybe ministering in a Baptist church and they expect him to be dressed up. And I felt there very, quite condemned sitting there in my old jumpsuit and my bolo tie. But you know, I feel so much at home here, I don't think you care what I wear. As long as I preach God's word, you can feel God's spirit flow. But you know, as we traveled one time, we had our address book full of little addresses, a place to visit and places to share. And that's all very good. But we really wanted to be led by God's spirit. And so we pray that the Lord would do it that way. And in a set of circumstances, which I won't go into details, he provided the right vehicle, the right transportation, and we were on our way on a rather long missionary trip with several stops here in the States before we headed south of the border into Mexico and Central America. And one of the peculiarities of our provision is that the Lord told me to wear a very lightweight blue suit. And it was winter time, and I thought for sure I would freeze my bottom off with that lightweight suit. But I was willing to be obedient, and Lily thought I should obey the Lord. So I wore this lightweight blue suit. And we drove across the country, and I shivered most of the time in that little Volkswagen camper. And I said to Lily as we went through Idaho, I said, you know, this is a desolate country up here, full of snow and ice. I said, it would be very difficult to have fellowship. It's very few villages and towns and widespread. And I said, do we have any friends, anybody living up here? Oh, she said, do you know that tape by John and Paula Sanford that we love so much? They live up here, and we could visit them. I said, well, what town is it? She said, it's a town of Wallace, Idaho. We'll look it up in the map. And as she was in the glove compartment looking for a map, I said, don't look at the map. She says, why? I said, look at the sign. Right over the head of the hill was a sign, Wallace, Idaho, next exit. God's timing, God's provision. We came into a service, and John Sanford stared at us and came up to us and said, where did you come from? We never laid eyes on the man before. And I said, well, you know, that's a peculiar way to invite a stranger into your church, you know. I might be a big tithe payer. You might need me, you know. Well, why say, where did you come from? And he said, the Lord told me you would come. I said, well, the Lord told us about an hour ago that we should come. And he, you know how he knew who we were? Because God had showed him in a vision. I hope. Hang on to your metal chairs here. He told him in a vision that a man would come with a lightweight blue suit. And he had waited for that man in a blue suit in that little church until I came. And we spent a delightful week with God's timing and God's appointment talking about deliverance and the healing of memories. I'm sure you might even have books here, John and Paula Sanford. That marvelous couple who work in the denominational churches in another sphere of deliverance. You see, God's timing has to be right. On that same missionary journey, we had traveled down through Mexico, and someone had given us one address of a man we had never met. His name was Anthony Marcial. They had lost contact with him years before. And he had a mission school somewhere. And they gave us his post office box number in La Paz, Mexico. And as we drove down there, we found out that La Paz was a peninsula way out there in the Pacific, and that we would have to take an ocean liner to go over there. And to make a long story short, we got on a boat, we went there, and as we came into his little office, the man said, brother, he never heard of us, never met us before. He said, oh, thank God you come. And I looked at him, and he said, we have been fasting and praying for 3 days that God will send a man to us. We need some advice from the Lord. And the advice happened to be in the area of building and design, which happens to be an area that I'm very skilled in, or fairly skilled in. And in the past, I would have reached into my pocket and pulled out a checkbook and given him a check for maybe a new mission station or a school, if I had the money in those days, but I didn't. I didn't have the money now, but I said to him, whatever I have, I will give to you. So tomorrow, let's go look for a mission station for you. He said, the one I'm staying in, he said, we're just squatters. We have to get out of here. We've got to get a place of our own. And so we went to a little village, and I've shared this before, and the village was up in the mountains. And the most beautiful, biggest house in the whole village was in the center of town, a whole city square block. It had fruit trees and orchards and gardens and the whole bit. Huge walls that had a room about half the size of this as the main living room in this mansion of a house. And as the police chief showed us through this empty house, she says, the woman who owns this house just last week, here's the timing of the Lord, just last week told us that she was going to sell it. And this particular missionary, Anthony Marcial, just shook his head negatively. He said, I couldn't afford to pay rent on this, let alone buy it. And then I spoke a creative word. It says, Lord hasn't sent us 10,000 miles into answer to your fasting and prayer for you to receive anything less than God's full bounty for you. Go over there and ask him how much it is to buy. And in Mexico, if you deal with Mexicans, you never get a straight answer. They will just, all sorts of commenting. First of all, there was no mortgage on the property. The taxes were all paid. And they finally got to the price. He said, the lady wants $2,000 American for the whole piece of property, building and all. Hallelujah. God's timing. You couldn't have built that building here in Hot Springs for maybe $200,000. The timing of the Lord. If he's guiding you and you've got, it's according to God's word and the still small voice of the Holy Spirit, the mouth of two or three witnesses, and then his provision, his timing, you will flow in the deepest current of your life. Not only in ministry, in personal decisions, in buying a car. Was counseling with someone just for a few minutes about going to college, how the scholarships and grants and money is available for young people to go to college if they only know. Most people, the Bible says that Christians will perish because of lack of knowledge, and many young people never make it to college because they don't know what finances are available for them to go to college, the provision of the Lord in that particular case. And even in practical areas, God can guide you and make a provision for you. I was designing and building a school back east, and everything was going very well. The first building was up and completed. The second building I had started, and there was a difficulty with the second building because the slope of the land was very, very sharp in the back, and we would have to bring in many, many feet of fill in order to build this auditorium. And I just didn't understand why we were having so much trouble with that building site. And then the Lord gave me a marvelous little vision of what I was to do. And I told my partner that instead of filling it in with fill, we were going to dig a huge foundation under that building and make an indoor riding rink. Because in my vision, I saw horses in there galloping around this huge building, which was several times larger than this. I guess my poor partner in business thought I had, you know, gone off the deep end. He just shook his head. But he figured out it was cheaper for us to dig a foundation than to bring the fill in. So he thought of the finances. He said, that's a good idea. And so we started to dig that foundation real deep and took out the fill that we needed and even up that slope in the back. But right in the middle of that foundation was a huge rock. Tremendous size rock that we had not anticipated. God will put an obstacle. He will allow Satan to put an obstacle in some of your plans, some of his plans, to see how you handle an obstacle. And that huge rock was one big obstacle. I looked at that thing. It must have weighed 100 tons, 200 tons. We couldn't use jackhammers on it. It would have just taken much too long. My idea of doing things fast is to blow it up. But they wouldn't give us a permit to use dynamite because they have, of all things, an atomic lab out there in Brookhaven, and they wouldn't give us permission to explode this thing to kingdom come, supposedly. That's an expression. I wonder what that really means. But anyway, that rock, that huge rock was there, and then my partner came over. As most partners in business, he asked me very pointedly how I was going to remove my rock from my foundation. All of a sudden, the shoe was on the other foot. And I figured cleverly that if God had given me the vision to begin with, he will complete the vision. Do you believe that? And I said, give me time to pray about it. And I prayed about it, and the solution the Lord gave me for it was humorous, but it was a little degrading. It would take something out of the starchiness that I used to have in those days. And so there, that's early the next morning, I showed up on a construction site with my tie and shirt and jacket and all dressed up. And I told my partner that I would get rid of the stone that day. And he thought for sure I had gone off the deep end. He just shook his head. He said, Art, if you're going to make a fool of yourself, I'm not going to be around. And he took off with his car. And then all the men, the bulldozer operators, gathered around. They said, well, how are you going to get rid of that stone? And I said, well, to begin with, we're going to dig a hole. And they said, oh, that'll never work. I said, we're going to dig a hole right next to that stone. as big a hole as we can dig, as wide as we can dig it, as deep as we can dig it. So deep that maybe the second bulldozer has to chain the first bulldozer out and drag both of them out of that hole. And they said, but it's still not going to get to the rock in the hole. I said, you do your part, the Lord will do his part. Now this they had never heard before. This they had never heard before. These worldly men sent out for a couple of cases of beer, and those guys who weren't working sat on the edge of the foundation, all staring at me and drinking beer, and I felt like a fool. And they dug that huge hole, and when it was all done, until they could hardly drag the second bulldozer out, they took out their steel tape, they were going to measure it. Oh, don't measure it. They said, why not? Because don't you want to know if the stone is going to fit in the hole? I said, no, I don't even want to know that particular point. I want to have the faith to believe that stone will fit in that hole. And while they had been doing this, I went to the hardware store and bought a thick length of 7/8 or 3/4 inch water hose. And I sat on a concrete block and I started to spray that stone with water. You think I felt like a fool? I felt completely miserable because the guys were laughing at me and that stone started to sparkle in the sun. And that stone was going nowhere with all that water on it. And the water collected around the stone and started to dribble into the hole until the hole was half full of water and mud. And the hours went by and I said, oh Lord, take me out of my agony. If there's a rapture, make it happen right now, Lord. And that particular stone started to quiver about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. What I had not known is that all that water had saturated the ground underneath that stone. And all of a sudden, that huge 100-ton stone started to quiver. And in one mighty collapse, it went right into the hole. And water went all over the place. And the guys cheered and threw their beer cans up in the air. Oh, what a celebration. And the stone was gone. About a foot under the surface of that particular riding rink. And if you ever visit Christ for the Nations in Stony Brook, you can dig in that basement there and you'll find that stone, because I don't think they're going to remove it, and I'm sure not going to remove it anymore. That stone is there till Jesus comes. God's provision. He gave us, he made an obstacle, but we hung on to the vision. We hung on that what we were doing was according to God's word. We believed that in a voice of the Holy Spirit that we were going to build a Christian school in that area. And that we had the confirmation out of 2 or 3 witnesses. And the provision was there. Even if there was obstacles, we hung to the view of that vision until we saw the thing fulfilled. Now that could be in your life as well. You leave here today with deliverance, with healing of memories, healing of hurts and bruises in your life. Hopefully, as Lily says, you have filled those vacancies with God's love, appreciation of what he has done in your life, and you're going to walk victorious out those doors. And when you look for guidance, you're not going to be so timid any longer. You're not going to say, well, I'm in transition. I've been seeking direction for a year or so. You're going to say, Lord, by the power of your word, you're going to direct me. I'm going to live my life according to this word. I'm going to listen in my heart to your voice. I'm going to keep my ears open for the confirmation of 2 or 3 witnesses. And Lord, give me the patience to wait for your timing and your provision. And you will be a son of God led by the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. Let us rise and have a word of prayer. Hallelujah. Brother Glenn, you come. Lord, we just thank thee, Lord, for it. This morning, Lord, and the direction, Lord, that we sense we have received from thee, Lord. We thank thee, Lord, that what you're going to do in the lives of these people who have so beautifully waited upon you here this long period of time, Lord. Lord, we thank thee for this week and all that has been accomplished, Lord. And Lord, only you know, Lord, the hearts and lives that have been changed, Lord. And Lord, we thank thee for the young men whose ministry has changed, who will go home and think over the things that has happened, Lord. We thank thee for Mark, Lord, and his wife. And Lord, we just thank thee you're going to guide them as well. You're going to put your mail in their mailbox, Lord, and you're going to guide them in their lives. And Lord, each of us, Lord, are going to claim that, Lord, that you're going to be to us a guide, a heavenly Father, a counselor who will help us find direction in all of our decisions in the days to come. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com or LHBC. www.bibleschoolonline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.